Wow, amen. It is time for the kids to go to Kids Connection right now. And as the kids are moving downstairs, by the way, I just received this from one of the children, right? It says love on it. And that's what makes this church so special, right? Isn't that wonderful? It's my privilege then this morning to introduce to you John Atkinson, who is Partner Relations for Compassion Canada. Now, we've gotten to know John a little bit over the past little while. John was featured on our podcast, Theology Jam. So if you want to hear more about Compassion Canada, and maybe ask him about Australia, right? No, maybe that's a long conversation, right? And all that stuff. But honestly, we have really come to appreciate John, his heart for the ministry that he is a part of. And it's my pleasure to introduce to you John Atkinson, who is going to speak to us this morning. Thank you, John, for being here. Yeah.
Amazing. Yes, thank you so much, Pastor John, for that amazing welcome. And it is absolutely my pleasure and privilege to be here this morning to share a little bit more about the ministry and the work of Compassion Canada. And just like was mentioned, I had a chance to sit down with him back in November to share actually quite in depth what Compassion Canada does. I actually probably won't have the same time that I will have this morning to go through the details and the intricacies of Compassion Canada. But if you do want to learn more, feel free to go and tune into that podcast. It was a great conversation, and I really, really enjoyed it. And maybe for those who are a little bit less familiar with Compassion Canada and what we do, our mission is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And we have the privilege of doing that in 29 different countries all around the world. Now, if you're here today, I just want to say a special shout out to you. If you're new, maybe this is your first time joining us here this morning. I'm just so excited that you decided to come. This is probably not a typical Sunday per se at Village Green, but I have the chance just to share a little bit about how this church is deciding to make a difference all around the world. And if you're tuning in online as well, it's so great to see you. We're happy that you're here, whether you're watching this live now or throughout the week over lunch or driving to work or whatever it is. We're just so excited that you are tuning in. Now, poverty is such a large topic, to be honest. It's a very complicated topic, and there's a lot of different facets to poverty. It's not easy to just kind of quickly explain, so much so, I don't think it'd be a surprise as I stand here this morning and mention to all of us here that there are children all around the world who face food insecurity every single day of their life. I don't think that's going to be a surprise to many of us here today. We're actually in a season right now called the global food crisis, and what that means is that this is actually the first time in over 25 years that the rate of poverty is actually going up. I want that to sink in for a moment. This is the first time in over 25 years that the rate of poverty is actually increasing. And that's for a lot of different reasons, things like natural disasters, things like the aftermath of COVID, wars that are happening all around the world. There's so many things coming together. But right now, we're in a season globally called the global food crisis. Again, I don't think it's going to surprise many of us here today when I share that we are facing this global food crisis all around the world, and children are some of the most vulnerable recipients of some of these terrible, terrible side effects of poverty, which is why, honestly, the message and the heart of my message here today is actually Paul's words to the church in Galatia when he says in Galatians 2:10, all they ask is that they would continue to remember the poor, the very thing they had been eager to do all along. Again, I don't think it's going to surprise many of us as we listen about some of the statistics around poverty. My hope, my prayer, my dream, my aspiration for our time here this morning is that we would allow God to put that to the forefront of our mind and see how we can partner with Him to make a tangible difference. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for Village Green. Thank you so much, Lord, for this community and the different ways that you were just moving in this space, God. Thank you for all the leaders that were just represented here earlier this morning, standing up here in the front, God. I just pray blessing over every single one of them. Continue to give them wisdom and discernment and leadership skills on how to navigate and continue to lead this church into just the different corners of London and the different corners of the world to just bring your good news, God. So, God, I just pray for for this message that I'm about to deliver. I pray, Holy Spirit, that my words will just fall to the ground, but Holy Spirit, your words will just land on people's hearts and they will meet them exactly where they are at here today. So Lord, we thank you and we dedicate this morning into your hand. Amen. Well, I thought it'd be helpful to start off with what is compassion. It's probably a good place to start. And again, I don't think the word compassion is going to be a new word for a lot of us, but I wanted to find lower C compassion and kind of what this word means to me. And actually, I came across an interesting definition at the end of last year in October, November, when I was in Mexico City. And I got the chance to see some of the work in Mexico that of compassion firsthand. And I got to go to Compassion Mexico's office and actually meet the president and CEO of Compassion Mexico, and his name is Omar. And he described compassion in a really interesting way that I thought was actually quite helpful to learn and unwrap what this word means. And he said, most often, compassion is mischaracterized as pity. We often use those two words interchangeably when actually maybe we mean pity or we mean compassion, but oftentimes in the English language, we can easily mix those two words up. But he wanted to kind of differentiate the two so that there was further understanding of what compassion actually was. So to define pity, pity is something that we see and we feel bad about, but we don't actually do anything about it. You know, we see the issues around the world, maybe locally around the world, and it hurts us and it's hard to see those kind of things, but it kind of just stops at feeling bad. Whereas compassion is that, but it takes it a step forward, and by definition, compassion is to do something about it. By definition, compassion is to move. And it's kind of this thing that makes your blood boil and drives you to action. And the example that Omar used is actually when Jesus was at the temple courts and overturned the tables in Matthew 21:12. In other words, there's nothing subtle or uncertain about this kind of compassion. It's a visceral, gut-wrenching, emotional response that is so strong that we are by nature moved to action. To have compassion, by definition, is to move. And it's important to understand that we also have a compassionate God. He is and will be and will continue to always be a God that is moved to action. He's not a distant being who kind of likes us and loves us from a distance, but doesn't actually do anything to partner or to love us practically. He's constantly on the move and does really tangible and practical things to show that love for us. The best and easiest example is him sending his one and only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins. And that's the John 3:16 of that. And that's the beautiful thing about God's love, that it's forever chasing us and it's forever in motion. And because we are created in God's likeness, because we are created in his image, we also have the ability to show compassion. We also have the capability to show compassion to others too. So how does this translate to the ministry and mission of Compassion Canada? Well, firstly, I would say that most commonly, compassion is known or even synonymous with child sponsorship. Now, I know probably a lot of us here this morning are somewhat familiar with what sponsorship is. You would have seen walking in here this morning, there's child packs displayed on the table. These are children who are facing food insecurity every single day of their lives. And through sponsorship, through a monthly donation, you're able to connect with this child and you're able to write them. You're able to pray for them, tell them that you love them, and provide for them physically, emotionally, spiritually, all that kind of stuff. And I would say that that is true, that is in fact true, that is what compassion does, but I would actually say that's only a small portion of what we do in total. That's probably what we're most known for, but it's not the entire picture. What I would actually say compassion is actually doing is something called holistic child development. Sponsorship is one of the ways that we achieve that. It's not the only way. It's one of the ways that we achieve that. But compassion's main goal is holistic child development. Holistic meaning it's not just providing for the physical needs of the child. It's not just providing food or access to education or clean water. It's not just those physical things. It is those physical things, but it's so much more. It's things like providing a tutor, which is kind of like a small group leader for that child who has the opportunity to invest into that child spiritually, who has a chance to disciple that child and journey with that child. There's a pastor that knows that child by name. There's a community of leaders and a group of people, project staff, who continue to invest in these children and to support them also emotionally and economically. It's really holistic. It's not just providing food. It's providing a holistic development opportunity for every single child in the program. We are motivated by the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, which says, to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Every single child in the program has the opportunity to hear the gospel and be discipled in a vibrant local church. Every single programmatic activity happens directly at the local church. The church is the champion. Compassion isn't the champion. The church is the champion. That's why I absolutely love the mission of Compassion. The reason that Compassion focuses on children is because we fundamentally believe and support that a changed child changes a community. A changed child changes a community. There's a really amazing quote by a famous theologian. His name is D.L. Moody, and you may or may not be familiar with who this person is. And so just for some context on who D.L. Moody is, he lived in the 1800s. He actually died in 1899. And he is most famous for bringing the way that we do evangelism in North America, the way we do it today. He kind of initiated a lot of that evangelism kind of strategy back in the 1800s. And he's actually famously given credit by secular, which is non-faith-based sources, to have converted over 1 million adults to receiving Jesus as their Lord and Christ, so converting them into Christianity. Now, by any definition probably that I could come up with, this is a pretty fruitful life. The life of D.L. Moody is something that I aspire to personally, to be able to evangelize and to share the good news with over 1 million people and to bring that many people into a faith in relationship with Jesus. However, the interesting thing is that D.L. Moody was famously quoted towards the end of his life, and he was asked, if you could do your life over again, how would you do it differently? And D.L. Moody said this, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. He would devote his entire life to the ministry of children, not adults. Now, this is a really interesting thing to kind of grasp because, from my point of view, from my standards, he had a really fruitful life. He really had like the John 15 fruitful life, like the vine and branches. And I would have loved to have met this person and just learned from this person. But he said if he could do it over again, actually he would do it, and he would focus his ministry on children. And that's because he fundamentally understood later on in his life that a changed child changes a community. Being able to shape and mold the faith of young minds with the hope of Jesus is irreplaceable and so important at the core focus of Compassion. I heard something recently that's actually so simple and yet so profound, and that it's the fact that when a child accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they don't receive a junior Holy Spirit. They receive the same Holy Spirit that we do. And that's an amazing thing to think about, that the children who accept Jesus Christ, they have this Holy Spirit inside of them as well, and they have the ability to change the communities that they're in as well. We're motivated by Matthew 16, 18, where Jesus is talking to Peter and says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Through the church, the capital C church, which means through imperfect people like you and like me, yes, but it also means through children too. God is building his church, and when the church is built up and empowered to do the work of ministry, I truly believe that there's nothing that can be done to stop that work from being accomplished. And God is undoubtedly at work around the world. But the question is, and I guess the question that we constantly as followers of Jesus might be asking ourselves, is how will we respond to his invitation to partner with him to make a difference? Because ultimately, it is up to us to partner with God to continue furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ to every corner of the world. So you might be sitting here and asking yourself, what part can you play? Well, first of all, I'm very aware that even from conversations this morning, that there are people in this very auditorium, this very room, who are already sponsoring children through the Ministry of Compassion Canada. And just before I go on any further, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, like, thank you so much. Like, I can't understate enough how of amazing impact that decision is truly making to children who are living in poverty and food insecurity every single day of their lives. These type of commitments are invaluable and truly, truly are making a difference, whether or not we necessarily feel that they are, or it's not always going to be at the forefront of our mind. I understand that. But I truly want to tell you and thank you for your partnership, because it is, in fact, making a huge difference. The interesting thing, though, about child sponsorship is that you may never truly grasp or understand the impact of your investment in this lifetime. And that's just the reality of sponsorship. You know, I keep my child's photo on my fridge, and I do see both of them every so often. But I don't always, and I probably may never know the full impact of what that commitment truly is making. Yes, I get to write them letters, and I get to see updates and see new photos and all that kind of stuff, but I may never truly fully understand the impact of that investment in this lifetime. And to kind of elaborate this point, I want to share a little bit of my personal story, my personal journey, as well, to do with this point of never really, maybe truly knowing the impact of your generosity in your own lifetime. And to be honest, this is a timely message. I didn't know that this was going to happen this way, but I'm going to be sharing about the passing of my own mom, actually. And this is kind of an impact of what happened to me when I was a teenager, and some of the really big things that kind of changed the trajectory of my life when I was 16 years old, and my mom passed away. She passed away from cancer, and to be honest, it was by far one of the most defining moments in my life. For obvious reasons, and for probably some not so obvious reasons, as a teenager, losing a parent is really difficult. But some of the not so obvious reasons too. And one of the reasons that may be is actually my mom's passing is one of the reasons why I'm able and I am here standing in front of you here today. You see, the thing is, when I was growing up in my family, I did attend church probably when I was quite young, kind of when I had to and when I was forced to. But later on in life, basketball became my religion. I was very involved in basketball. I played on different varsity teams. I played at Guelph. I played on Team Ontario. I was just very into it. And because of that, I was very busy on weekends. I never got to go to church on Sunday mornings, and I wasn't plugged into a local church or a small group. And basketball really just became the main focus of my life. However, my mom still kept her faith and was the faith giant of the family. She would always pray for us. She would always tell us that she's praying for us. I always remember she would read Our Daily Bread every single morning. She would constantly go to church even without the rest of the family. And she really just continued to maintain a strong faith throughout her entire life. So much so that she actually decided to do two very important things towards the end of her life. The first thing that she decided to do is actually to get baptized. And you can imagine, as a family, I have a brother and a dad, so a family of boys, that this maybe was a bit strange. We fully supported her, but we honestly didn't understand that decision. We loved her, and we were happy just to kind of support her in that, but it was kind of more of a, sure, like, no worries, like, we'll just kind of go with you along with that. But we never really fully understand what that meant. And at the same time, at that time, we definitely didn't share that same faith, but it did, in fact, plant a seed in the lives of the rest of our lives. She picked a date to get baptized, and I remember this date because it was Thanksgiving and also my brother's birthday. It was October 13th, 2008. That's when the date she chose to be baptized. However, things took a kind of a steep decline, and my mom actually ended up passing away on October 12th, 2008. One day before the date she was meant to be baptized. Now, as a family of non-believers at the time, watching that and witnessing that, more questions come up than answers. There is a, why would this happen? Why would God take her a day earlier before she was going to proclaim her faith publicly to the world? There was a lot of kind of interesting things happening in our minds that were confusing and honestly painful and frustrating. And this is a really interesting turn in our story, because we had to wrestle with the question of, what does it mean when you come up short? What does it mean when you set out to do something, but somehow life doesn't go the way that you had planned, and you, to some degree, and maybe the worldly point of view, come up short? And I'm here today because I want to share a little bit of encouragement around what I went through and some of the maybe epiphanies or realizations and some of the learnings that I learned through God through that situation. The first thing that I want to share is Psalm 139, where it says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Psalm 123 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He leads me beside quiet waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. We have a God that has a plan and a purpose for you, and you lack nothing. These are the lessons that I learned throughout this trial. And the thing is, you may never truly understand the impact of your generosity, but I am a standing proof that, in fact, those seeds that you plant are worth it. Only a few years later, my brother, my dad, and I all got baptized in that exact same pool that mom was meant to be baptized in. Sorry, this is... Again, you may never truly grasp or understand the impact of your generosity, the impact of planting seeds in the lives of others. And to be honest, what I'm trying to get at and with the point that I'm trying to drive home here this morning is that through the Ministry of Compassion Canada, I believe that this is also true. You may never see or never truly understand the impact of those small acts that maybe seem insignificant or maybe don't even seem that important at the time, but I can guarantee you that they may, in fact, if they're through God, through a ministry like Compassion Canada, who puts Jesus at the center and the focus of what it is, like God has the ability to turn that around and to make a great thing out of a terrible situation. You know, the amazing thing that I often like to share at different churches is that when a church in the field, like Colombia or like the Philippines, for example, which is countries that we work in, when Compassion starts partnering with a local church in one of those countries, those churches in the first 3 years grow by 400%. I want to put that in perspective. So if a church started at about 100 people, and then Compassion is able to partner with that church locally, within the next 3 years, that church will become 400 people. And that's not transfer growth. That's not people coming from different communities and coming in from different spaces. This is actually conversion growth. This is children bringing their siblings, bringing their parents, bringing their grandparents, bringing their neighbors. This is the amazing impact that actually through sponsoring one child can have even in a community. Just the immense impact that is spreading the gospel and the power of investing in the life of one child, just the ripple effect that it can have in a community is honestly incalculable. It's impossible to put numbers directly to it. And this is on average. This is a growing by 400%. Sometimes it's even more than that. All this to say, I'm here with a purpose and here with a reason, and this is probably not going to be a surprise for many of us here today, but my ask and the reason why, the core reason why I'm here this morning is one, to say thank you, but the second reason is actually to bring an ask. And that ask is if you would consider sponsoring a child through the Ministry of Compassion Canada. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the second time, maybe for the fifth time, maybe the 10th time, whatever this looks like for you, but if you would consider sponsoring a child through the Ministry of Compassion Canada. The cost is $47 per month, but through sponsorship, you get to invest in a relationship with a child, a one-to-one relationship with a child living in poverty. You get to know them by name. You get to pray for them. You get to write with them. They get to write you back. You get to hear updates about them, and it's honestly such a powerful thing. They get plugged into a local community, a local church in the community that they're already living in. There's a pastor that knows them by name. There's a tutor that knows them by name. It's truly, truly such an amazing, amazing program. But ultimately, through sponsorships, you get to partner with the local church in making disciples of all nations. And if this is something that you would consider doing here this morning, can I just encourage you to come to the foyer, to one of the booths that we have set up, and we would love to chat with you about what that looks like and take care of that all here this morning. It honestly only takes a couple minutes, but those few minutes can forever change the trajectory of a child's life living in poverty forever. Right now, we're going to transition into a video that shows the impact, another story of impact, of a child who actually grew up in the Compassion Program in Uganda, and his name is Eric. And I just want to take some moments to show, again, the impact of investing in the next generation through sponsorship and some of the ripples effect that can happen through, honestly, a small decision like sponsoring a child living in poverty and understanding and learning a little bit more of the perspective from that child. So let's listen to Eric's story together.
How magical that moment was when I knew that I have a sponsor now. It changed everything, literally. My name is Eric. I'm born in a family of 8 children, 4 boys, 4 girls. My father died when I was 8 years. And the time my father died, it changed the whole story. The relatives from his ancestral home came and took away all the wealth. At that time, we were barely left with nothing. Life was never the same at that point. It meant not having access to better health, not having access to good education. We so much wanted to be at school, but we never had an opportunity. That was all gone. An uncle who worked with Compassion as a volunteer, he got in contact with my elder sister. They worked alongside with my mom to have us registered in a Compassion program. There was this big ray of hope, Compassion coming in. When I knew that I have a sponsor now, this was another highlight to me. Like, getting a sponsor, it changed everything, literally. I have a life. I'm loved. I'd just finished university. She came and surprised me. Is there anyone who would desire to come and like take care of you? Is there anyone who would be thinking about you? From the other end of the world, you receive news that someone is coming in.
Actually, Eric, we have a message from Dorothy, and we'd love to share it today.
Hi, Eric. It is so good to be able to send you a message today. I had no idea the impact my sponsorship would have, and it's just been amazing to see how far you've come since I first started sponsoring you when you were 8. I am so proud of you, and I'm definitely going to pray for life. Keep in touch.
I think of Dorothy, I just see a person who changed the world, who saw a desert and believed that there is water. It can turn into a big tree. It can turn into a forest. Sponsoring a child with Compassion is giving an opportunity to live. It's more than just picking a name. It's more than just sending the little money, writing letters. It's more of giving a life and making that life worth living and very meaningful.
And I don't know if you caught some of that text towards the end of the video, but Eric actually moved to Canada. He now lives in Toronto, actually, and he is what we call an ambassador for Compassion Canada, and which means he comes to different events like I'm doing today and shares his story and invites people into sponsoring children, just like he was sponsored. So how powerful is that? And he's a social worker, and he is now changing the lives of other children around and in the GTA specifically. A changed child changes a community. I did mention that there was a second thing that my mom did when towards the end of her life, before she passed away. And the second thing that she did was that she ended up writing a journal for both my brother and myself. This was a book of memories, of encouragement, of scriptures, of song lyrics, of that kind of thing that she kind of compiled And she did this over multiple weeks and months. Like, it wasn't just a one-time thing. She would just kind of do it every so often and just compile this book that she would give to us whenever she passed away. She knew it was coming. It was a terminal cancer, unfortunately, and there was the end was kind of guaranteed. As you can imagine, writing this journal for my mom was extremely difficult. I have very, very vivid memories as a 15, 16-year-old of her writing in these journals and, like, hating it, like, just being super honest. Like, she dreaded doing it. She did do it, but it absolutely pained her for obvious reasons, things like it admitted that the end was coming, that she wouldn't be there for certain milestones, you know, all the things that you can imagine as to why it might be difficult for a mother to write this. But she did push through, and she decided that it was important enough for her to not just be paralyzed in fear, but to move with compassion. She was moved to do something with the situation that she saw as a terrible situation, but she didn't just stop at feeling bad. She actually was moved by compassion. She was moved into action. She was moved by love to write these journals for my brother and myself. I often take time at the January 1st to kind of just read these entries through, and just to kind of help reset my year ahead, that kind of thing, and to help put into perspective, you know, where I've come from, where I'm at, where I want to go in the future, that kind of thing. And I decided that I actually wanted to share a short snippet here this morning of one of the journal entries that Mom actually did, and it was actually her very last journal entry that she shared with me. Sorry. I can relate, Pastor John, to what you're going through. I think that was the kind of the connection here this morning for me. But as a 16-year-old, you can imagine that I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And I was very unsure of my future and kind of where I was going, what I was going to do. And so she wrote this. She said, "You seem to be struggling with your future and what path you should take. Pray about your options and God will guide you in the correct path. You may end up doing something that you would not have considered in the past. When God closes a window, he always opens a door. No matter what, live to your potential and use the gifts God has given you." I know many of you don't really know my story, but I never wanted to be in ministry, as a lot of pastors and such maybe might admit early on. I was a young adults pastor in Australia. That's a different story. But God brought me to Australia to work for a local church for 7 years, which was where I found compassion. And actually deciding to work for that church was a large part because I read this entry. And I wanted to be in business and marketing, but actually God used this entry to redirect my path to say yes to a one-year internship at a local church, which turned into a 7-year job, which introduced me to compassion, which is why I'm standing in front of you here today. Again, you may never know the impact of your generosity. You may never know the impact of the seeds that you plant in the lives of others. And today we have a chance to move with compassion and sponsor a child living in poverty. You may never truly understand the impact of your generosity, but I can guarantee you that if it's through the Ministry of Compassion Canada, that this child will be exposed to the gospel of Jesus. I can't guarantee you that they will accept the gospel, as we can never guarantee that even in a local church context like this in Village Green. But there's a really strong chance that this child that you're sponsoring will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Today, I just want to end our time off with one of my favorite Bible verses, and again, is at the core and the centrality of who Compassion Canada is. And just for context, Jesus is speaking about what it means to lead a life of serving others. And he says in Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And just for the sake of our time here this morning, I want to define the least of these as this: someone who can't pay you back. Perhaps like a child living in poverty. I just want to finish our time off with this thought of do for one what you wish you could do for many. Again, there's a ton of statistics out there around the global food crisis and poverty rates all around the world. And to be honest, it's a little bit paralyzing to grasp those and to understand those. But the thing is, we can do something for one person. We can make a difference in the life of one. I wish I could sponsor 10 children, 20 children. I do honestly wish I could do that, but for now, I can only sponsor two. Maybe for you, that looks like sponsoring one child here today. Maybe that looks like sponsoring another child here this morning. But I just want to encourage you, do for one what you wish you could do for many. We're about to end our time, and I just want to encourage you, if this has been speaking to you in any way, can I encourage you just to come up and chat with myself or one of our amazing Compassion volunteers, just to learn a little bit more about what it looks like as the next step to sponsor a child. You can select that profile today. You can actually fill out all the information. You can complete it here today. Again, it only takes a couple minutes, but those couple minutes can forever change the trajectory of a child's life forever. I have brought 30 child packs. I brought 10 from Colombia, 10 from the Philippines, and 10 from kind of 10 other countries that we work in. I brought Colombia and Philippines because Village Green, you may already know, has connections in those two countries. You support missionaries that work there. And so this is a way that, as a church, you can continue to deepen your global mission strategy in those two countries. If you have a connection or a desire to sponsor a child today, I would encourage you to pick one of those two. And if you ever do visit the Philippines or Colombia, you actually probably could visit your child there as well, which is kind of a cool connection. But again, whatever you do today, please know that whatever you do it for the least of these brothers and sisters, and you're doing it for Jesus as well. Let's end our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, just for the chance here today just to share a little bit about how you're working all around the world. God, you are always moving, you're always working, and God, you invite us into these opportunities to partner with you into furthering the gospel to every corner of the world. Lord, I just pray right now for every single person under the sound of my voice, whether it's here physically in the room in Village Green or whether it's people tuning in online, God, that you just continue to work in their hearts, stir their hearts, speak to them directly in the season that they're in, and show them your will with what has been shared here this morning. God, we just pray over every single child that's represented by the 30 child packs here this morning, God. I just pray blessing over them, continue to give them hope, continue to know that they have a future, that they have a perfect plan, and they have a desire from you to prosper, God, that there's a plan for them and that they lack truly nothing. And Lord, I just pray, God, that they continue to hold on to that hope, knowing that, there are people all around the world that truly love them and support them and care for them. So Lord, we just pray for all these things, and we just pray for this moment that you just seal it, God, on our hearts. And we just thank you for all these things in your mighty name. Amen.